As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting. Running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome in to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding, here each and every week with two great new guests who are the most interesting people in the Ville. It's quite a heady title. It's quite a, you know, there's no significance to being show 69. It means we're about a year and a third into this great project. Everything's going well with the show. Our number of downloads is up. People are listening. People are talking to me about it and wanting to be on the show. I've got a long list of potential guests lined up, and I'm always open to suggestions. If you want to suggest a guest for the show, please get in touch with me. The best way is rick@louisvilleky.com, and I will certainly consider. We got room for two guests a week. I try to make them timely and interesting, and that's what we've done this week. I want you to stay tuned for the second half of the show for a very important story with Terry Brooks. He is the head of Kentucky Youth Advocates, which is a local nonprofit that assists young people with, you know, some with problems, some with, but he's got a new campaign, a very important project going on there that I think is very important for our area, our community. And first up, we're going to have Jonathan Miller, who is, you may remember, Jonathan Miller is a former politician. He is now, he likes to say, a recovering politician. He was a state office holder, a finance cabinet secretary, and now is an attorney at Frost Brown Todd. I happened to be in Lexington this week and got the chance to stop in and say hello. I always was interested because I've been following Jonathan. This is his recovering politician website. Now he's got a new column starting this week on the Kentucky Sports Radio site. So that is a heavily trafficked site. He's very excited about writing about sports. And that should all be cool. The reason I wanted to have Jonathan on this week, of course, is that we have an election coming up. If you're listening to this Thursday, Friday, you know, Halloween, that area, you know that the election is Tuesday. And I just want to remind our listeners that, you know, we've had some guests on this show who are running for office. A while back, we had Stephanie Pierce Burke, who was running for judge in Jefferson County, and certainly admire the things she had to say. Those judges' races I've talked about on this show are very important. Also, Nick Simon, who is running as a Republican in District, I believe it's 31 or maybe 32. It's Hikes Point, J-Town for state representative for the House of Representatives for Kentucky. It's a very important race. I encourage all our listeners to get themselves educated. Don't go to the polls without any idea of who you're voting for. Get yourself educated. The Courier Journal has a vast Has done the best in terms of covering the races. And now I talk in this interview with Jonathan about the Allison Grimes Mitch McConnell race, and so you'll hear. So I won't go on that about here about that right now, but just encourage you to pay attention, know what's going on in politics, especially so close to the election. Just think, after Tuesday, no more of those horrible television commercials. All those signs will be gone from the yards, and life will get back to normal. So anyway, let's get started on the show. And here's my interview with Jonathan Miller. All right, and today the Rusty Satellite Show is in Lexington, Kentucky, high atop the, what's the name of this building, Jonathan?
The Big Blue Building.
The Big Blue Building in Lexington. I'm with Jonathan Miller, who has a remarkable story. You know, I've followed his work a long time. We were actually both involved in the 2007 gubernatorial election, I guess. But, Jonathan, first of all, welcome to the show.
It's great to be with you. I've been listening to you from afar.
Well, great. Now, I follow certainly politics, but certainly you do. You're an attorney now, but I know you probably have opinions on a lot of statewide races. In particular, I was interested in your opinion on the Allison Lundrig and Grimes Mitch McConnell race. Specifically, you know, we're a week out. You know, what do you think it's going to come down to, and what do you think of the strategy Grimes had of not saying who she voted for in the presidential election?
Well, you know, I'm a poker player, Rick, and I only like to bet on sure things. So I went bet on this race, I think it's very difficult to bet against Mitch McConnell, and I think right now he's probably leading by a point or two. With all the averaging of the polls, the aggregators, who I believe give him like a 60-70% chance of winning, and that seems about right. And you know, I, as a Democrat, I'm a big supporter of Grimes. You know, to have a 30-40% chance of winning this race this late against the majority leader who spent tens of millions of dollars against her, I think is a good thing. And a 30-40% chance is a real legitimate chance for her to win this thing. So, you know, if the election were held today, I guess he'd win. But I think she's got the momentum, the enthusiasm on her side, and could really pull off an upset. You know, I actually wrote about this for the Daily Beast. I did not agree with her decision to not name who she voted for, or then to double down on that in the debate against McConnell. But I've also believed that the press reaction to it, particularly the national press, was ridiculous. You know, that Chuck Todd would say that her doing that would disqualify her. The treatment of this is one of these huge gaffes along the lines of that woman that said I wasn't a witch, or Todd Akin saying that.
Guess the thing, if I just interject, it wasn't a gaffe because she repeated it. I mean, it was a strategy.
Right. And again, while I disagree with it, I don't think that it is one of these things that decides elections. And in fact, I wrote that I think the overreaction by the national press might have helped her, because, you know, this race for McConnell is liberals against conservatives. And that, if that happens, conservatives win every day in Kentucky. Grimes is trying to make this as outsider Kentucky versus the establishment. And with Chuck Todd being part of the establishment, he sets up a foil for her to use that as a way to get at McConnell. So, again, I don't think it's going to decide either way, but I think that the Chuck Todds of the world probably should to tone down the hyperbole a little bit and save their outrage for things that are truly outrageous.
Okay. Well, let's move on from that and talk about you. You know, I know that I guess you would call yourself a reform politician. You have this website called the Recovering Politician. And so I guess we'd start by saying, what's better, life as a politician or life as an outsider?
You know, that's probably the easiest question anybody's ever asked me. Life, you know, I don't regret my time in politics. I mean, I served 8 years as state treasurer and then three more in the governor's administration. Before that, I was up and working in the Clinton administration in Washington. And I don't regret any of it. Great experiences, great people. And I enjoyed public service, but I'm just so glad to be out. Life is so much richer, so much fuller. I've got to really spend a lot of quality time with my daughters, who are now off to college, and so glad that that happened in time for me to spend those teenage years with them. And now, you know, I'm probably doing more of the stuff I enjoy with politics in terms of influencing policy and speaking in media interviews and writing on things I'm passionate about than I ever did when I was in politics. And,
right.
and I can do it all with candor and without the worry that somehow I'm going to offend somebody or somebody's not going to vote for me or somebody's not going to like me by what I say. And I'm the type of guy, I don't like to put brakes on what I believe in. I like to be candid. And so that whole candor has been the best part about being out of politics.
You know, I would certainly agree with you. And watching the Grimes-McConnell race and knowing that they never take questions, you know, they never do actual interviews yeah. with reporters. The debates are so scripted. It's got to be, I think, A, it must be frustrating for them, or B, they like that they don't ever have to say what they think.
Yeah. Now, Alison Grimes is criticized for being a very disciplined, remote candidate. I think she has modeled herself after Mitch McConnell, not in a political sense, but in that kind of conservative with a small C sense. And because McConnell has been so damn successful, 30 years of
right.
doing this, of avoiding the tough questions, and I think she realizes that that's what you got to do to succeed in a state like this. And I'm glad that she's out there fighting this battle on behalf of Democrats, because I certainly don't want to be.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's talk about this Recovering Politician. I know it's a website. I know when you started it, you know, I was blogging a lot more. I was very interested in what you were doing. And you have gathered a group of people like you that are out of politics that still have an interest, I guess. So tell me about the site and what else
sure.
your company.
You know, it's been a lot of fun because, I started this with a few friends, including John Y. Brown III, who former Secretary of State, who I know has been on your show and is a big fan. Another guy named Jeff Smith, who was a really rising star state senator in Missouri and got in some campaign finance trouble, spent a year in prison down
yeah.
in actually Manchester, Kentucky. Both of them are brilliant, beautiful writers, and we've then recruited some people that are well-known, like Michael Steele, who's the chairman of the Republican Party, you know, in the 4 or 5 years ago, as well as a bunch of other politicians who might not be well-known but have got great stories to tell. And so it started off as a website, ways for us to talk about politics using our perspective as having been in the arena and now being able to talk about it candidly. And now we've set up a consulting firm called Second Act Strategies, where we're going to be putting on corporate retreats and simulations for corporations and organizations to help learn the lessons we learned from our own crises in politics and be able to apply them to the kinds of crises that any business or any organization tends to find themselves in this 24/7 media world. So it's been a lot of fun. It helps enrich my life. I enjoy practicing law. I'm at Frost Brown Todd. I enjoy writing. I'm now writing for the Daily Beast and Kentucky Sports Radio. This is a way for me to both give back but also use the lessons that I've learned to help other people
sure.
avoid the mistakes I made.
There you go. Well, we could debate that, but I want to talk about the Kentucky Sports Radio gig, because I of course it's unusual in Kentucky that a sports program has such influence on things outside of sports,
right.
I suppose. And so how did you begin, why would they hire a guy like you? You probably know a lot about sports, but that's not your background. Why would they hire a politician?
Yeah, Matt Jones is a really fascinating guy who was a lawyer at actually my law firm before I was at the law firm, and decided to create this site out of nothing. And, I know there are a lot of U of L fans that listen to your show, probably aren't the biggest fans of Matt, but he's done something really amazing with it, where it's become the largest independent sports website in the country. About 250,000 people are on it on a bad day. He gets
yeah.
a 500,000 to a million on really big news day. And he's looking at ways to give his audience more information. I'll be writing strictly on sports, but kind of the intersection between sports and policy and the law. The article I'm writing for Sunday night is about I think the North Carolina should get the death penalty for this academic scandal.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote last week about kind of how what's behind the appeal of Kentucky basketball, why it unites so many people, and then I'll be talking about there's so many things in sports that give rise to policy issues, whether it was Ray Rice or Adrian Peterson or NCAA, their rules towards paying players. And so I'll be getting to comment on those every Sunday night. And to me, this is probably going to be the most fun thing I do, because I love sports. I was never good enough to play anything beyond high school tennis, and this is my way of being a sort of sports figure.
Yeah, I'm kind of a reformed sports writer myself, and I like it. It's fun. It's when I go back there, I get into things I used to do. And it's easier because it's something you know. And, you know, for people like me, you grow up memorizing batting averages and things like that. And so writing of it becomes easy. But yeah, today's sports, I think it's a whole different world because it's so business oriented.
Yeah, I mean, it's become, you know, big money sports, and not just the pros, but, you know, college is just as big money and continues to creep into it. And so I think there are a lot of lessons that politics can apply to sports, and I think a lot of lessons politics can learn from sports. And so I'll be talking about that and hopefully, you know, getting to dig deeper into things that I enjoy, and you know, a few things I enjoy more than, you know, Kentucky basketball and Reds baseball.
You're not going to like start bashing U of L.
No, I'm not. You know, it's interesting because Matt does not like U of L. Obviously, U of L's always been my second favorite team. I don't like Duke, and Matt's a graduate of Duke Law School, so we'll see what happens there. But I will get a jibe into Duke as often as I can.
There you go. Well, I got one more topic I want to go over with you, because I know a lot of people don't know you have this secret life as a world-class gambler. Okay, so you know, how do you get to be a great poker player, and is that still going on as part of your life?
You know, I always loved to play poker when it was online and legal. I would play every now and then. I probably would get to Las Vegas, I don't know, twice a year. But, you know, when I was in politics, I wasn't going to enter any of the big tournaments because what would happen if I won? It'd be all the papers, be ugly. But when I got out, in 2012, I was out of politics, and I'd always wanted to be in the World Series of Poker. So I put my $1,000 down, 4,800 people in this tournament. Wow. And after 4 days of playing from noon till 2 in the morning, somehow I made the final table, finished 8th and 170 grand. And it was – my wife hates it when I say this, but it really was the luckiest 4 days of my life. And so I'll now still play two times a year. I go back to the World Series. I haven't been as lucky or as profitable as before, but poker for something is able to use my math skills, reading people skills, and it's a way for me to get the heck out of my mind and stop worrying about my job and politics and all that stuff. And so I really love it.
So it's not just luck then?
Yeah, they say Texas Hold'em tournament poker is probably 80% skill, 20% luck. And you know, I don't want to be falsely modest. I'm pretty good, but to get to a final table with 4,800 pros in it, it requires some luck as well.
It's really hard to imagine. That's really phenomenal. So congratulations on that. And we'll be paying attention along with you to the election next week. And I really appreciate you being on the show.
Well, thanks for coming down to interview me.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And all right, we're back. Thanks again to Jonathan Miller for... allowing me to come by. I'd never been to that big blue building in Lexington. The 28th floor is quite a view up there. Just to encourage you to take a look at Jonathan's website, therecoveringpolitician.com. It's a lot of interesting stories. Former Rusty guest John Y. Brown III does a lot of writing there. So that's all cool. So if those of you who follow the show know this is the part of the broadcast where I talk about different things that come to my attention or things that are going on in the city of Louisville, my hometown. And this is a big week. Of course, this is the week that Florida State, the number two team, football team in the country, comes to Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. Now, this is happening Thursday night. Hopefully, you're listening to that. I'm recording it the night before. And, you know, boy, wouldn't it be great to have a night like tonight for the game tomorrow. A lot of speculation, a lot of talk about the game, of course. I'm sort of excited. I'll be sitting in the flight deck, the UPS flight deck. Great seats for the game. We got a whole tailgate thing going on. I understand there's going to be a lot of traffic. The FFA convention is in town, and a lot of those blue coats will be hanging around the fairgrounds near the stadium. So I'm trying to get there as early as I can. I tell you, the game is at 7:30, and it's on ESPN if you're not fortunate enough to have tickets. The betting line now has come down, as I speak, I see online, the betting line is down to 5. Louisville is a, you know, sort of a smart pick by a lot of the national experts to win this game against Florida State, which had all kinds of problems with discipline among its team. And I've got my hopes up. I'm a fan. I'm not any sort of analyst or anything like that. I'm just hoping the Cards can pull this off and be a very exciting thing for our community. And we'll just see. We'll be out there on Thursday night. National audience, it's going to be big. So I wanted to point out one story. I'm always interested in stories involving JCPS, and one thing that really bugs me about the way things are handled in the Jefferson County Public School System is when administrators or teachers or somebody does something wrong, basically what JCPS does, they take the individual away from students, off their jobs, and set them up somehow. I don't know what they do, but they move them to the central office and continue to pay them, even when evidence is overwhelming that they've done something wrong and will eventually be fired. So with that as a premise, you know that the story came out this week that the male high school principal, a guy named David Mike, has been investigated for over a year now. He's been investigated for helping students on tests for a lot of what aren't crimes, but they are certainly fireable offenses, I guess. The investigation that JCPS has conducted found that he failed to ensure security on the ACT test. He used to practice test in an improper manner. He failed to train staff and failed to report and correct violations. And it goes beyond that, though. He directed a teacher to discard practice test notebooks sought by investigators. So basically, he took steps to make sure that the investigation did not find out the things that went on. He talked to teachers and students about what to say to investigators, and really did a sort of I'm not going to call it a cover up, but according to the news story in the Courier Journal, he did a lot of things to try to protect himself and his job. And meanwhile, since the allegations were discovered over a year ago, he's been collecting a fat six-figure salary and doing something at the central office. This is a profound waste of taxpayer money. The evidence has been there. If somebody does something wrong, let's get rid of them and quit paying them. At least that's the way I feel. There was been multiple situations in JCPS been handled this way, and this administrative leave business is, it's not the most serious thing, I don't guess, in the world. The serious thing is the things that David Mike is alleged to have done that compromised the integrity of the testing. So I think that's the real serious issue with JCPS. They seem to be doing the right steps, but Male High School has been without a full-time principal for for this school year and a part of last year. And now that this decision's been made, it's possible that male, they can do a job search and go out and find a principal, for a permanent principal for male. Unfortunately, it's so tough to fire somebody in JCPS. Mike has 10 days to file an appeal and could drag this thing out for longer, which he probably will, because he knows he can collect a paycheck for all that time. I think that this current suspension is it may be without pay. He is currently suspended. They just finally today on Wednesday announced he was suspended without pay, and he will be dismissed barring all the legal stuff that goes on. So anyway, it's a long drawn out process, I guess, to get rid of somebody in a position in JCPS. So we'll see. We'll be following that story, see how that goes. The other thing I want to talk about, you know, I've been doing this journal on my website, LouisvilleKY.com, with my son, Luke, who is 16, and it's been an interesting project for him. I think it's a lot more challenging for Luke to come up with topics and things to write about. That's the, you know, the real struggle for a writer is often just to come up with the topics to write about and all that. So I'm real proud of Luke for sticking with it. We're halfway through. He had to do this for a class project for 30 days. We're on day 15 today. You know, one of the things I wrote about last night, you know, I'm doing the journal as well. And, you know, it's like blogging for me. It doesn't take me very long. But I did watch some of the World Series last night and, you know, just made a comment that it amazes me how little people care about the World Series compared to when I was younger. When I was a kid, you know, I remember the 70s. You know, I could tell you who was in the World Series every year in the 70s. I remember the amazing Mets of 69. I remember watching that on TV in black and white on one channel without replays or whatever. It was a whole different experience. And the explosion in the things you can do, things you can watch on TV, I think has led to the demise of baseball. I've talked to several people about this, and it's just – it's most people think it's boring to watch baseball on TV. And it kind of is. I keep falling asleep during the games. The game six that was Tuesday night was a real yawner. A lot of these games have been blowouts. It was 10-0 last night. So and the Royals scored 7 in the second. It was basically over from that point on. The first two games were like 7-1, 7-0. So game seven, you know, you'll be hearing this after it ends, but, you know, game seven is tonight. I think the Giants, based on their, they've got this great pitcher, Madison Bumgarner, and he is throwing tonight, and the Royals haven't figured out a way to get any runs off of him. So I got my money on the Giants in the World Series. So when you hear this and you know the score, you can, you know, remember that I had this prediction, so we'll see. Also predicting in sports that Louisville, like Rick Pitino, as I told you last week at the tip-off luncheon, Rick Pitino and I both believe that the Cardinals will take Florida State on Thursday night at the stadium. So we'll see how that goes, and we'll see what happens. I want to talk a little bit about my next guest now. It is Terry Brooks, and he is in charge of Kentucky Youth Advocates. And there is just so much information that so few of us know about things that go on with child abuse. And it is more prevalent than you think. It's sad. And it comes under, you know, there's all kinds of reasons that it happens. And I'm going to be writing a story for Insider Louisville about this next week. But Terry is a, you know, engaging guy. He's a big U of L fan, and I really enjoyed getting to know him and talk to him about what's going on with the Face It Abuse campaign, which has a lofty goal to not reduce or abuse in our society, but to eliminate it. And, you know, abuse takes all kinds of forms. And, you know, people, you hear all these stories in the news of people shaking kids, babies, and messing up their brains, or they get burned, or they you know, come into the hospital with bruises on them. And there's a lot of things that are going on in Kentucky to help stop this problem. That's what I talked to Terry Brooks about. Here's my interview with Terry Brooks of Kentucky Youth Advocates. And today, the Rusty Satellite Show is at the office of Kentucky Youth Advocates with the Executive Director, Terry Brooks, who happens to be the world's biggest University of Louisville sports fan, right?
That is absolutely true. I've already converted all five of our grandchildren there, Cardinal zealots as well. So that's an important aspect of our life.
There you go. Well, it's fun. We got big things going on this week with the Florida State football game. I assume you're going.
Actually, we're probably, when we tailgate, we're probably going to have crab legs.
Oh, good deal. Good deal. Well, I'm going to find out where that is, and I'll come over to your place for that. But the reason you're on the Rusty Satellite Show, of course, is your work here at Kentucky Youth Advocates, and I know it's important work. And I just wanted to start off with telling me a little bit about this program, Face It Abuse. If you just give me the basics of that.
Well, the Face It campaign to end child abuse in Louisville is really driven by Cozair Charities. And a couple years ago, Cozair Charities decided to tackle child abuse in the same way that they tackled polio over half a century ago, which is they stopped trying to help folks with polio. Instead, they eradicated polio. And their idea around child abuse is, instead of simply working with children who have been victimized by it, what would it mean if Louisville was abuse-free by 2023? I think the thing, Rick, that motivates them is, if your listeners think about Slugger Field, standing room only, not a seat empty, but instead of baseball fans, those are the number of children who have been abused in the last 12 months. Guess what? There are 5,000 kids who can't fit in the stadium. That's how many kids experience abuse in Kentucky in the last year. So that's what motivates
the good folks at Cozair. It's such a huge problem. I mean, all you have to do is watch the news and you know, the publicized cases. And I know that's a small percentage of the total number of cases. But I guess, just rather than me guess at it, give me an idea of what kind of abuse we're talking about. What are the key problems?
Yeah, well, when you talk about maltreatment of children, you really talk about physical abuse, sexual abuse, psychological abuse, and neglect. So neglect is where kids, maybe you're left with no food or homeless. And you made a great point, which is, we know that the actual number of cases that we're aware of, all the best experts in the area say that's about half the real cases. Mm-hmm. So using that first example, the real number of kids in Kentucky who suffered from abuse last year, you couldn't fit in either the Yum Center or Rupp Arena, not just Slugger Field. So that gives your listeners sort of a notion of just how big of a problem this is.
Right, and I understand it, again, because you hear these tragic stories on the news, and sometimes it sounds accidental. I don't want to go. You always hear about parents locking their kids in a hot car, and you hear about these babies that get shaken and all that, and it's just tragic to really hear about this. But tell me a little bit about when you want to eradicate a problem, that's a big thing. What kind of steps are you taking to make that happen?
I think what the folks at Cozair Charities have done a really good job of is approaching it in two different ways. There are some efforts to eliminate child abuse that have to really begin in Frankfort with laws, state laws and regulations that govern the whole Commonwealth. Then there is absolutely a ton of activity that is really on the ground. And so in contrast to the work in Frankfort, Cozair Charities are supporting work by doctors and teachers and child care workers and preachers and athletic coaches and young people themselves to think about how we can better identify and how we can better eliminate and prevent child abuse in Louisville. So it really takes both of those. You can't do it without on-the-ground efforts, and frankly, on-the-ground efforts alone is not sufficient. We've got to work with lawmakers in Frankfort.
And I guess from my perception, it's really everybody's challenge, I guess, to find it and point it out. You can't just wait. You know, you have everybody from doctors and nurses, I guess, to coaches, anybody in contact with.
Absolutely. A great example of that is a couple of years ago, the General Assembly passed a law where all kinds of folks were mandated to get training about recognizing signs of abuse. The one group that was left out was medical professionals. What we learned was that over half the kids who died from abuse in Kentucky had been in a medical office 2 weeks or less before their death. Wow. So medical folks got it. They were like, yeah, we actually do need additional training. During this last session, the General Assembly passed a head trauma bill that mandated medical professionals get that training. And Cozair Charities is supporting the work of the U of L Med School to develop training for every medical professional in Kentucky. So there's an example that it kind of combines, that without that law, some docs may not be going through the training. Without that good work of on-the-ground medical professionals at U of L, it wouldn't be happening. Same thing with child care centers. 4Cs, which is sort of the head agency in Louisville for child care centers, is leading an effort right now to make sure that every child care worker in Louisville gets trained on what do you look for. If you see that three-year-old with a bruised ear, it's not just an accident.
Right.
We know it's probably a signal. So the whole notion of the campaign, Face It, is that you and I and every listener have both the opportunity and an obligation to face child abuse in this community.
Right. I guess it's a prevalent problem, but you don't know who's got, it's like a silent or invisible disease. I wanted to ask you about I know you see a lot of cases and all this, but the usually parents, I guess, that are committing the crime. What is it? Have you put anything together in terms of what causes these people to do
that's
this?
That's such a great point, because I think a lot of times, maybe not on the news, but on TV shows, you always picture sort of the creepy guy in the park, mm-hmm. or that stranger in the car. It's this is Halloween week, and I bet a lot of parents and grandparents are saying to their kid, don't talk to a stranger if they approach you with Halloween candy. Well, in fact, what we know is, just as you said, that the by far the majority of kids abused are abused by family members or boyfriends or girlfriends of mom or dad. So some of that is just egregious. You know, a boyfriend or a girlfriend doesn't know how to handle it. But if you look underneath the surface, I'm totally convinced nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to abuse my kid today. Instead, what happens is that mom, who's just finished two shifts, comes home, and that three-year-old won't go down for the nap and mm-hmm. keeps crying, and it gets louder and louder, and something happens. So among the things that we're doing is trying to provide parents with the notion that, you know, it's okay to walk away. There's a whole pamphlet that a group has put out in town about toilet training. I mean, that may sound odd to your listeners, but a lot of frustrations come with that, and it's saying to parents, those day-to-day efforts that you make as a mom or dad with that, especially 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds, because sure. that's the group that tends to be abused, you got to learn what it means to be 4, and then as a mom or dad, you got to know how to cope with it. So, there's some absolutely egregious characters who need to be put away because they're pursuing a pathway of abuse. But in so many cases, that mom or dad lost their cool. And so we got to be asking, what could we do to prevent that from ever having happened?
Right, right. Well, people lose patience. And I'm sure there's instances where
parenting's a tough job.
It's really hard. You know, it's drug and alcohol abuse, I'm sure, are a factor as well. I wanted to get a little bit off that topic and just ask a little bit, because I don't know much about Kentucky Youth Advocates. I know you have a lot of other programs here. It's a state agency.
What makes us distinct is two things. We're the only nonprofit in the state that looks at kids through multiple lenses. There's a lot of groups that look at kids through education or through health or through economics. We look at kids and families in a holistic way. I'm not smart enough to figure out where health ends and economics begin, or how you separate education and juvenile justice. So we look at kids and families in a holistic way. The other thing actually that distinguishes us is actually just the reverse of what you said. We not only are not a state agency, but we don't take a single nickel from any government agency. Okay. We really are the watchdog for kids in Kentucky. We try to be the independent voice for kids. And so if we're the watchdog, we can't take food from the dog that we're watching. And so if I were to say anything about KYA, the distinguishing element for us is that we act in the interest of kids, independent of influence. So on a typical day, Democrats and Republicans are equally happy and unhappy with us, and that's my goal is to plow down the middle with a focus on kids.
And so you're funding donations?
We get two things. We get foundation funding. Okay. So at the national level, we get funds from groups like the Anna E. Casey Foundation, Robert Wood Johnson in health. Locally, we get support from Metro United Way, Cozair Charities, the J. Graham Brown Foundation. And then we depend upon a lot of donors. We frankly don't tend to attract the high rollers because of the work we do. So we get a ton of $10 and $20 and $50 donations.
Okay.
And that really is what keeps us going.
Okay, well, I'll let you plug that. Tell our listeners the website.
Yeah, you can go to learn more about it. It's KYYOUTH, so kyyouth.org.
Okay.
And you can find about our work. There's a great section called Kids Count, which is really a report card on kids. How do we rank compared to other states? And then finally, you can take a look at what issues we're going to be tackling in the 2015 General Assembly.
Okay. Well, great. Well, I'm going to pick up that one. We got time for one more thing, and you say where we rank. I'm always interested in Kentucky's rankings in national studies.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So how's Kentucky doing?
Well, I think you can look at a lot of rankings. I think if there's one ranking folks need to pay attention to, there is absolutely not an issue that is afflicting Kentucky's kids more than poverty. Mm-hmm. It used to be that we said that almost one in four kids in Kentucky lived in poverty. We then went to one in four. We now have more than one in four. Kentucky actually ranks 48th in the nation in the level of child poverty. And I'm totally convinced that poverty impacts everything else in a kid and family's life. You simply can't talk about health, education, safety, without talking about family finances. So
sure.
Unless and until we as a state get serious about tackling that, we're not going to be serious about making Kentucky the best place in America to be young.
Yeah. Well, you make a great point, and we're going to have to wrap it up on that. But I want to also point our listeners to the Face It Abuse website, and how can somebody get involved in that
program? If you contact Kosair Charities or KYA, we will plug you in an immediate way. Again, I think folks in Louisville need to recognize the absolute generosity of Kosair Charities to stand up for kids in this way.
Okay, great. Well, Terry, thanks for being on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks so much, Rick. Go Cards.
So that's going to do it for this edition of the show. You know, tomorrow is or Friday is Halloween, and I hope everybody's all fired up for Halloween. It's become a big deal. I have, I kid you not, I have this skeleton shirt that is a legend in my family that I wear every Halloween, and I just dug it out of my closet. Today, in fact, and we'll be ready. I have pictures of me with my when my sons Nick and Josh were babies. They're in their 20s now, and I was wearing this shirt and wear it every year. So it still glows in the dark, believe it or not. So Halloween's a happy time. I think this year I'm going to be giving out candy with Paula at her house, where there's a lot of kids running around the neighborhood. So that's going to be fun. And finally, I'm going to get back into my house this weekend. I've had an Airbnb guest for a couple of weeks, and that's just been a wonderful experience. Encourage you, if you go to LouisvilleKY.com, there's an ad. You can go look at the house. If you got guests coming in from out of town or anything like that, need a place to stay. It's a cool little house. It's a two-bedroom, one-bath house, a lot of cool things in it, and a lot of privacy. I would encourage you also to be aware that on November 10th, I host an event called the Breakfast of Champions, and former Rusty Satellite Show guest Kent Euler, the Greater Louisville Inc. chair, is going to be our speaker, and that's a Monday morning, 7:30 a.m. Encourage you to come by. That you can find out all this stuff that I'm doing, the LouisvilleKY.com blog, the Rusty Satellite stuff, the Breakfast of Champions, and some other stuff that I think is interesting going on my Facebook page or on Twitter. I'm now on Twitter, doing a lot more on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Ricky Redding, R-I-C-K-Y, Redding. And been a lot of fun getting some interaction on Twitter. So anyway, that's how you get a hold of me. I'd like to thank my sponsor, Passport Health Plans, and my producer, Dan Vonderhyde, for putting the show together. It's a labor of love, this Rusty Satellite Show thing. I'm very glad that a lot of people are starting to listen to it. Encourage you to give me feedback. Let me know what you think of the show, or if you've got a guest you want to suggest, bring it on. For now, this is Rick Redding with the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
turning airplanes into buildings every time I talk.